Well, I always like to start off with a little humor. So, Tony Romo died. And so he goes to heaven. And so he meets St. Peter at the Golden Gates, and St. Peter takes him to his new home. And it's kind of a modest 1,800 square foot home. Looks nice, but, you know, just very modest. So Tony Romo's just glad to be there. Well, about 4 days later, he's walking around and exploring and looking around to see what's happening. And all of a sudden, he comes to this big three-story mansion. 45,000 square feet. And in front of it is this life-size statue of Tim Tebow. It's in orange and blue, the Denver colors. Backyard, big swimming pool in the shape of Tim Tebow with the Heisman Trophy. And Tony Romo turns to St. Peter and he says, "Hey, just a minute. I'm a pretty good guy, and I know Tim Tebow's a pretty good guy, but why in the world does he have this big mansion and I've got my modest little home?" And he says, "Oh, you don't understand. That's not Tim Tebow's house, that's God's." I said a little humor. I mean, I didn't say it was big humor. I said a little humor.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Let's take a look at the Sabbath. Our church, by its name, is very proud of the Sabbath. And we should be. So today what I want to look at is several things. One, what does the Sabbath mean to you? Two, what do you think one should do on the Sabbath? And a third one, share with what is said in the review so that I don't get in trouble.
All right, this was an article in the Review and Herald last month sometime. It was on the Sabbath, the whole article was on the Sabbath. But the author was teaching a Sabbath school class one time, and somebody asked him, "Do you think people that don't keep, that anybody who doesn't keep the Sabbath will be saved?" And he said, "Yes, I do. In fact, I even think some that do keep it will."
Now, let's get this straight for those that are listening on as on the recordings. That was from where?
Review and Herald.
That's right. So, the third thing I'd like to look at is, how important is the Sabbath to secure us a place in heaven? Okay, so let's start with number one. What does the Sabbath mean to you? What has it meant? Do you feel the same about the Sabbath today as you did 5 years ago? Or if you've been a lifelong Adventist many, many years ago? Kay's the first one to raise her hand, so she gets to go first.
Well, it used to be a chore. And, I waited for sundown to do the things I wanted to do.
Okay.
And now it's a gift.
Okay. All right. Let's look at the chore aspect. Has the Sabbath ever been a chore for you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was a must do.
It was what?
A must do.
A must do. What does that mean? That's correct, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't, you're zapped.
Okay. Man, where do you come from? California. California. Grizzly. Oh, okay, I see now. All right.
I come from a very legalistic background, which I have finally begun to come out of.
Well, and I would say praise the Lord, because I guarantee you, if you're not careful, maybe not this class, but some people in this church, the Sabbath is as big as a chore today as it was when, well, I'll just speak for myself, when I was growing up. How did we when we, for those who have been, you know, teenagers growing up with the Sabbath, how was the Sabbath to you? Yes?
A list of do's and don'ts.
Absolutely. And what were some of those do's and the don'ts?
Well, you have to go to church, you have to read the Bible, you can't watch TV, you can't do whatever you want to do. You know, just a list of, just a dread. I dreaded it as a teenager. I really did. Like, later on when I was probably 17, 18, I started to think for myself and figure that the Sabbath has nothing to do with the list of do's and don'ts.
Okay, all right.
Before that, you know, I just went to church because my brother made me.
Okay.
He threatened me.
Okay. Yeah. And what was some of those do's and don'ts that you had as rules? I mean, TV, I mean, that was a no-no. What else was it? Yes. Pardon?
You can't wade any deeper than your knees.
Okay, that's a good. Could you bathe on Sabbath?
No.
Well, certainly. I mean, man, you wouldn't want to turn that water on Sabbath morning and get in a shower and everything.
Well, the thing is, in those days, we didn't have showers. It was a big deal to take a bath. And you were expected to do it before sundown on Friday.
Yeah, okay. And remember the days when we used to have MV? Anybody remember having MV services on Friday night? How would the women come to MV on Friday night? When curlers. I remember that. And they have the little head thing on and curlers. And, oh, yeah, you know. Man, I'm telling you.
College, you could not go to Friday evening meeting with curlers.
Uh-oh.
You had to have your hair done and your Sabbath clothes on, and if you were late, you stayed afterwards and got punishment.
Well, I went to King where that would have been a blessing.
It sure made Saturday night fun, though.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. You know, look back at it as a teenager, or even younger. Who in their right mind would look forward to Sabbath? Because all you knew about Sabbath, when you come from a legalistic background, and I certainly did, was these are what you cannot do. And so my parents, bless their hearts, they meant well. I know they meant well. Here was Sabbath from my viewpoint. One, you better have everything done before it got sundown. Sabbath, went to church, which I really never minded church and Sabbath school. But Sabbath was the biggest meal of the week. So that was fun. We got dessert on Sabbath for lunch. So that was fun. And then my parents, most of the time, they would take a nap on Sabbath. At least that's what they told me. So they would take a nap on Sabbath. And so my brother and I would sit there with, guess what? Absolutely nothing to do. Couldn't run and play outside. Couldn't be with your friends outside. Couldn't have the TV on. I remember a gentleman by the name of Asa Brown at church one, and this is from El Paso. One Sabbath said something about, I heard on Paul Harvey this morning, or no, not Paul Harvey, I heard on the news this morning. And it went through my mind exactly, well, what are you doing either reading a newspaper or listening to a news program? And then finally, because we had the record, we knew at 5:57, the day was over. And life could begin. And then we wonder, as we grew up, why we didn't look forward to that day. Yes?
I have a question.
Sure.
Are you saying that maybe when I grew up, my dad was Adventist. I knew he was Adventist, but he didn't go to church. So we went to church. Nobody forced us. In fact, it was the other way around. Sometimes we'd say, you all need to read the Lord or whatever. To me as a teenager, I loved going to church. Mm-hmm. I loved doing those things that, you know, seemed like don'ts and do's to some of you. To me, it was just a joy to do it.
Good.
So are we saying that it's the forcing that is wrong? Because I'm listening and I'm thinking, okay, to me, these things as a teenager, I looked forward to the Sabbath. My sisters and I would clean up. Nobody had to tell us. We'd get ready by ourselves. We'd enjoy it.
Okay.
So what are we saying is wrong? Is it the forcing?
Okay, that's good. We're going to come back to it and we'll have it answered. Because that goes to number three. What does the Sabbath have to do with our salvation? Okay, yes, ma'am.
I want to go back and say about this hair thing and going to worship. To me, it was the most wonderful way to start the Sabbath. I did not resent it in any way to go in and have this quiet time and everything. And this lady, Arvine, gave us wonderful worship services. I love keeping the Sabbath at college.
Good. Okay. I hated it. See? That's important to understand. Pardon me?
I would love to say something.
Yes.
I want everyone to know that I had a revelation of how beautiful the Sabbath is.
Would you share that with us?
Yes. I mean, it's just been in my heart. I found it out. And it's in my heart, and I really think it's a beautiful, beautiful way to thank our Father and honor Him for all that He's done for us.
Okay.
And
okay, come back. Just
well,
jump in.
You know, I just really feel that, like you were talking about with your parents. You know, if the children are raised in a home where they know a little bit about Sabbath and there's a love for the Father, children can pick up on that and be very happy.
Absolutely.
At school and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think of the Sabbath as a day to be with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
Well, I think it boils down to some of us were forced to do things that we didn't feel like we wanted to do. And I was never one to really keep any rules, so it didn't bother me much, but it really bothered a lot of other people. But it comes to force. If you want to do it, you're going to rebel when you're forced to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were forced to obey all the rules that we had for Sabbath, we got rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the difference between someone else that wasn't, you know, that they had a relationship that was a little different, and they were allowed to let Christ come into their heart without force.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Diane?
When the Sabbath is presented to children, and if we look at it as adults, the way she's talking about, as a day to be positive toward God in our own way. In the past, it's been that we were artificially trying to please God or do the right thing, or looking at the Sabbath as, you know, I want to do it right way instead of being the right way in my heart.
Okay.
And that's the difference. And I think we as a people have come to understand that maybe better over the last 20 or 30 years.
Very good. Yes, sir.
Back in my time, didn't understand any of the thing that was going on for a 7-day Adventist. I was always taught Baptist. I was baptized in the Baptist church, and they made me go to church. I remember when I used to love baseball. I played baseball with the grown folks, with the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so good at it till a scout came to my house and asked my mama, could he take me to Detroit and try out? Mama told him no, and I hated church after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a thing that my daddy and my mama raised up in church, and we had to go to church every Sunday, not Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So to make the conversation short, after I got married to Carrie, we was in, well, I had went to Chicago, and then from there I married her and went to Indiana. And we was at the house, and so Pastor Jenkins, pastor that there in Indiana, was great. He had a seminary where my wife and Christine, my oldest daughter, went. So Carrie came home and she told me, she said, no more pork chops.
Oh, well, you are now on the road to the kingdom.
And then she explained to me, well, I didn't understand what she was talking about.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell y'all something. God put it in my head that you listen to what she said. And God knows, I went to my job. I was supervisor at United States Field. Gary works for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I told them that I was a Seventh-day Adventist and I couldn't work on Saturday. They said, well, you didn't tell us that when you got this job.
Mm-hmm.
So, but God fixed it so that my superintendent came to me and said, I'm going to stop you from working on Saturday.
Fantastic.
And so I didn't have to work on Saturday. And so I promised the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, you let me get through this. When I retire, I'm going to serve you. And sure enough, after I retired, I became superintendent of the Sabbath school.
Good.
I became head usher for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I got poor health and everything, and it kind of fell back. But you know one thing? God kept the angels with me.
Absolutely. So you saw the Sabbath in a different light.
A different life. Good. It had to come to me. God had to bring it to me.
Absolutely.
Because I was taught. I was born in 1935, and I was taught that Sunday was the...
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. That's right. What is the difference? We have some that love the Sabbath, some that learned to love the Sabbath, some that hated the Sabbath, per se. What's the difference? Because we're all at church.
Love.
Love for what?
I think that's the difference, is to understand.
Pardon?
To understand the meaning of the Sabbath.
Okay.
Can you understand?
Okay. Well, what is the meaning of the Sabbath then?
God made the Sabbath for man.
What does that mean?
Well, he didn't make man to keep the Sabbath.
Okay.
In other words, that's his gift to us.
Okay.
That's the day that God blessed.
Okay.
I would tell the meaning for me.
Okay. Pardon?
I'm
yes.
So when Fridays come off, I say, thank God I have Sabbath to stop working.
Okay. All right. So you like the Sabbath because you don't have to work?
No, it's not that. It's just because I have some time with God.
Okay. Little difference. I like that.
Doing what I do every day.
Yes. Yes.
I first discovered how wonderful the Sabbath was when I was in college. I had to study in college. It didn't come easy. It took everything I had. And I studied all the time, or I was in class all the time. But on Friday night and on the Sabbath, I had my excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered what a blessing it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a day of rest from everything. And to this day, it feels good on Friday night not to have to do all the things I should be doing.
Okay. Yes.
I was going to just comment on this. Some of us grew up in all that about, you know, taking the bath early. For me, I couldn't ride my bicycle on Saturday. I could only ride with my dad somewhere or something. And I said, Dad, why can't I ride my bike? But I think the part we really hated back then was the discipline of something else that wasn't our decision.
Mm-hmm.
I hated learning to wash the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
That had nothing to do with Sabbath. I hated that part of the discipline as well.
Sure.
But it goes right along with taking a bath early, or, you know, we came into this religion, or came into whatever religion, Baptist or Catholic or whatever, as a result of some disciplining in any of those religions, having nothing to do with the fact that it was a Sabbath.
Okay.
It's some kind of a discipline.
Very good observation. Do you have your hand up?
Yeah, the thing that struck me about this is that it seemed to push us towards the way the Jews were. there were all these rules, but there's no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have just rules, mm-hmm. then somebody's going to start resenting it, okay. forcing people to do things.
Okay.
Where's the love? Where's the feeling?
Okay. I appreciate that. Blaine?
We had this major discussion last week or the week before. And so I went in to go and look to find where did all these rules come from. It's not in the Bible. There's a couple there. But and I came across child guidance.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbath of Delight. Mm-hmm. When I read it the first time, I was like, oh, that's where it came from. I read it the second time. And you can see where she was trying to give an example of what the blessing could be. And just my impression that that was misinterpreted as a list of do's and don'ts. And a lot of them were left out, like you really shouldn't eat a big, huge meal. You really shouldn't take a nap. You know, those kind of get overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
The don't go outside and run around is stamped on everybody's head when they're, you know, mm-hmm. in Sabbath school. How do we interpret that in a way that's positive?
Okay. That's a good question. I hope we get this done in 23 minutes. Yes?
Well, about Sabbath, this situation, how I think it's supposed to be, God gave up a 6 day to do all our jobs, what we have to do. We go work, make money, whatever you do. And he says, 7 days is my day. It's gift. He gave us gift that seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
And that Shabbat or Sabbath, I'm not supposed to do things that I used to do 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
On that day, that's gift to me. I'm supposed to honor and praise the Lord for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And do the things that make him happy and me. Mm-hmm. Have a relationship more that day than the other days. The other days too. Our Sabbath special day that's supposed to, you know, bring me closer to the giver, to the God on mm-hmm. that day. And that day is gift. I'm not supposed to do anything for my good on that day,
mm-hmm.
earthly good. Only things, spiritual things, go to church, you know, praise him, singing, playing, what's mandolin, what I have to do. That's how I feel the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
It's gift. Okay. Otherwise, if there is no Sabbath, okay. we'd be worse than animals.
Yeah.
Because when I work in New York, I used to work Sunday. They want me to come to go Saturday. Had a lot of work. I said, I cannot do Saturday. Saturday mm-hmm. is gift from God. Saturday,
okay.
I can do any day, but Saturday I cannot do it.
Uh-huh.
There was one lady with me who was Sunday keeping, and she was very, good Christian. She had Bible on her desk like this all the
mm-hmm.
time. And I asked her, Kina, the Sunday, why you keep Sunday? There is no place in the Bible that says Sunday is supposed to be kept like no God's day. Well, for me, Sunday, my Shabbat. That,
mm-hmm.
That's what, how she understands.
Mm-hmm.
I ask her, okay, what do you do Sunday? Well, I go to church, then I cook my meal, then my husband wash car and things. Well, if you're a Shabbat keeping on Sunday, they keep it Sunday right.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say cook the meal.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says,
don't wash
the car, do anything. Okay. It's special day supposed to be for you. Even your Sunday keep it, but keep it the Sunday the right way that says in the Bible.
Okay.
I didn't think like that.
Okay.
So
well,
that's how I feel
about I appreciate that. So I'm a bottom line person. So let me get this right. No sex on Sabbath.
What do you think Adam and Eve did on Friday night?
Well, sex is a gift.
Sam Bakayoko.
Garden.
Sam Bakayoko had a talk on that in Grand Prairie Church, and he pointed out in Leviticus, it says that if you haven't done your duty to your wife through the week, Sabbath was the day for it. He pointed out Leviticus. It's in the Bible.
Well, I don't like to be picky, but what if the woman hadn't done her duty for the husband? What my point is, we have people that grew up with a whole bunch of rules. We had people that saw the Sabbath, and I'm not going to be picky, but I'm just going to pick because I want to make a point. Her first thing was, man, I don't have to work on Sabbath. She came back with the right things. Hers, I don't have to study on Sabbath. See? Is that the correct motivation for the seventh day?
No.
To sleep? to rest from your job, to not have to do things that you normally do. What is the motivation for the Sabbath? Why love? But see, that's a nice word, but what does that mean? I love my wife, but I didn't bring her flowers for Valentine's Day. I took her to Taco Bueno. But that doesn't mean I don't love her. You see? Where does the Sabbath fit into all of this? Because it's easy to say, well, God, in the text certainly there, God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. Well, what does that exactly mean? Rob?
You know, like every one of those doctrines, I've got to ask myself the question that God had something in His mind, in His heart. And every one of those things are to help me to understand a little more fully what my Father is like. Like every other truth, I'll never plumb the depth of it. Through eternity, I will still be finding out new insights. So it's real interesting as I listen here, most everything is focused on, okay, God said do this, now how do we do this? Rather than taking the emphasis, if I am trying to understand the heart and the mind of God, that's a question that should come up in my mind, that I want to try to understand His mind. And there's no way that I can plumb that all here, but it, when I start looking at the heart of God through something like that, I find such incredible love. And I know in my pilgrimage through this that, you know, it came across, first of all, that this was a sign of God's people, and this way you keep it. So I didn't have the background that all you had. And so I was brought in with that understanding. And then I understood the freedom that Christ gives us. And so I have a tendency to throw away all of these trappings. We still have ours. Back in 1850 or whatever, we look at what they did, and so we feel like we've grown by throwing away those restrictions. Well, I found out that with this freedom, I could throw it all away. But I find out my passionate love for my Heavenly Father. I seek His presence. I seek His time to spend with Him. And it seems like that had something to do with the mind of God.
Okay, absolutely. Rob?
I appreciate the direction Rob is taking us. I remember a class I took, in the postgraduate class I took back in my college days. It was called Industrial Psychology, and it was by a Christian counselor, psychologist actually, and it was a fascinating class, and I wish I'd kept the book and could remember a lot of the details. And my memory of everything is a little fuzzy as I got older, but I remember one thing that we hit on, and they were talking about some studies that were done by industrial relations and industrial psychology people back in the 50s. In the post-industrial, coming out of World War II, when America was booming with industrialization, jobs were plentiful, and productivity was being measured and monitored. And so these lab guys got together and decided, we want to try to measure productivity. What can we do in the work setting of this factory? And it was called the Westinghouse Studies. And so they adjusted the lights up and down, and then they monitored productivity, how many widgets were being produced. They changed the work schedule, 8 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours. Then they changed the work schedule, 6 days, 7 days, whatever. And they measured the productivity of these groups. And all of this being done, they came to a conclusion, which we know now, we are creatures of habit. We are creatures of cycles. We function better when there is when we can maintain some kind of a cycle in our life. And they came out with pretty much what we're doing now, a 40-hour work week with a day of rest seems to maintain the highest productivity level, very satisfactory productivity level. If you try to do something different, things drop off, and they could quantify these results. And we went through that, and I thought, bam, that's why God gave us a day of rest. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to fall into this trap of all of these crazy things we talk about, which we now laugh at ourselves because we have been victimized by Satan's misinterpretation. This is exactly what Satan would like for us to do. Stay focused on all these crazy
Absolutely.
Do's and don'ts.
Absolutely.
And lose the reason mm-hmm. for why does God want us to have that cycle of rest? Mm-hmm. There's some very real reasons for it.
Okay, absolutely. Which do you focus on the most? The day or God?
God. The day we've made it to an idol.
What would you focus on the most? The day? In what you should do, you shouldn't do? Day of rest? I don't have to do this? Or do you focus on God? Rules without relationship result in rebellion. And at one point in my life, and I can tell from some of you, at one point in your life, no wonder we rebelled. Because we never had that relationship. We saw it as a day that you better keep. We almost teach it if we're not careful. It's just interesting, contact, and she comes home, and the next thing he knows, he's without pork chops. I mean, not making fun of anything, but just think, what a message. What a message. Pork chops are bad. Where's God? Sabbath is the day you better keep. Where's God? So Satan has come along and does what he does very, very well. Anything that takes our focus off of the God who created and the God who loves us, he's just as happy as a lark. By the way, I've never figured out how happy is a lark. I don't like gardening and I don't like birds. So I don't know either one of them, but they say larks are happy, so I guess maybe they are. So, what Satan wants to do is anything to get us unfocused upon the only thing that matters is looking at God and that relationship that he wants so badly for us to have. And so, if we're not careful, no different than the Pharisees. We're no different, as bless my heart, parents did what they thought was correct. And I've been there of saying, we just want to make sure that you keep the Sabbath properly. So, here's what you should do and you shouldn't do. And we then focus upon the day. No wonder some of us dislike the day because we never focused upon the relationship. You see, the relationship changes everything. So God came along and he gave the Sabbath. By the way, he gave it the Sabbath to Adam and Eve, and how hard did they work the other 6 days? Pardon?
They had worked then.
How hard?
They tended the garden.
No weeds.
No, wait a minute. The first Sabbath they kept, they had been created the day before. They had done.
How tired were they? So, you see, I have no problems with the days a nice day of rest. Certainly is. I slept into 8:31 this morning thinking that Roger was going to bless us with a fantastic lesson today. See? I was excited.
I have a question.
Oh, I love questions.
Well,
you're talking about Adam and Eve were made on the 6 days, as we know. Mm-hmm. And God commanded, did he command the seventh day of rest? He did, in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
How did Adam and Eve know?
I don't know. Wasn't there?
I mean, do we have anything to research that?
Well, we'll come to that. Rob has that lesson next week. The day, it's nice that we have a day of rest. I have no problems with that. I think that's absolutely correct. But that's not what God gave us for. You see, I think we miss the biggest symbol of the church, Sabbath. We like to say, well, the Sabbath is a reminder of creation. I have no problem with that. It is. We say, well, if you keep the Sabbath, you can't be an evolutionist. I have no problems with that. But the greatest reason to me that God gave the Sabbath was He said, I'm so tired and unhappy to see you struggle in your spiritual life of trying to get into my good graces. You work hard to keep the right things. You work hard to do the right things. You struggle to get into my good graces. And I want you to understand one principle. I created a world in 6 days and I rested. I created you, and all you have to do is come to me and get that Sabbath day rest. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about the symbol, which is reality, that when we invite Him into our hearts, then we have that Sabbath day rest. Because we don't have to strive to gain His love. We don't have to strive to get to do the right things. He comes into our life. He walks with us. And when Hebrews, a text that we use so many times to prove the seventh-day Sabbath, we miss the whole picture of that, which is, come into me and get that Sabbath-like experience spiritually. And that ought to be added to our Sabbath message. In fact, I think that's a greater message than the actual ones that we use. What does Sabbath now? Here comes the tough one. What does Sabbath have to do with our acceptance to heaven?
When I had the time when you just mentioned that, Hebrews, when I had gone to school with to learn how to be an Adventist in Adventist Academy, you sort of learn how to do things that learn how to be an Adventist. And I was getting actually pretty good at it. And I was attending Academy. And then I was given a class in order to keep some... I was losing some... one of our administrators had said, you know, we've got a lot of students that are getting student Social Security, and if we don't get them in college, they're going to lose that. So the people in Keene were able to put together a special class so that we could attend and graduate early and get to where we could keep this benefit for students. So we all attended. This was about five or six of us. And Rob taught that class. And all of a sudden, in 6 weeks' time, all this time I learned how to be an Adventist. Rob fell by understanding the life. It was called the Life and Teachings of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what I discovered in that class, and really have sort of made more of an emphasis on from then on, and I was only 18 years old, was that, you know, Jesus, there wasn't any time that Jesus didn't do anything on the Sabbath that He wouldn't do during the week. And how He lived and how He connected with people and what He did was so much more than the day itself that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And it really was impactful. I wanted to share that. And that
good. That's good. That was a fantastic class at Rob. He doesn't understand how many. All right, we're on my time now. So you'll have, if you've been in this class, you know how this works. Okay. If we don't know God and we don't have a relationship with Him, the Sabbath does give us rest from work. Sabbath does give us rest from tests. The Sabbath does give us rest from a lot of the cares of the world. The Sabbath does give us a chance to be with friends. The Sabbath does do a lot of things for us physically, regenerates us. But if God is not the focal point of our life, then the Sabbath just becomes a nice day, just as a birthday is a nice day. Valentine's a nice day. Christmas a nice day. Sabbath a nice day. We just go through the form. Going to church, doing the right things, being with our friends. God has given this day as an absolute gift. And it's on many, many levels. Just think that He cared enough for you individual that He set aside 24 hours that you have the opportunity to put things about you on a day-to-day basis aside and spend time with Him, spend time with your family, spend time on the things that help recreate, re-nourish, and help you. What a gift. Would love, as I looked back, if our family would, my mom and dad, and they did the very best they could. They thought they were doing the right thing. What an opportunity that we could have at church. I like church. Church never bothered me. It was all the other junk. See, what a time if we'd have just known a little bit more about God. If we'd had just a little bit better relationship with God. My, what that day could have meant. Because my daddy was a hard, hard worker. What that day could have been. But you see, our household was focused on, you better do this and you better not do this. Better do this and better not that. So, got a dessert for Sabbath. Don't ever do that. What Sabbath keeping to you might be wrong for this person. What he thinks he ought to do, you might disagree. But the end result is, where's that relationship? Now, we're going to take an up and down vote. How many of you think that in order to get to heaven, you got to keep the Sabbath? Raise your hand high. Got one. Got two. I appreciate that. How many don't know? How many don't care? Father in heaven, can only tell you in my life, the day was never special until I got to know you. And then as my relationship, as we walked along together, even when I stumbled, you were there very kindly. And as I got to know you, I began to understand how good, how thoughtful, how caring, and what a blessing the Sabbath day is. You knew that when you created us. And you knew that this would be a special time we can focus not only upon you, but our family, and reflect what you do in our lives. And no wonder in the book of Isaiah 66, from one new moon, from one Sabbath to another, though we spend every day with you up there, there's just something special about a gift that you give in our lives. Help each one of us never focus upon the day. Never show to others the day. Help us focus upon you and show others you. And your Spirit will guide us and guide them in all the paths that you want them to walk down with you. Thank you for this beautiful gift and for the Sabbath day. Be with this class. I can speak for Rob, myself. It's our lifeline, our relationship, and the time that we love on the Sabbath day to spend with you is this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.